Mr. Brady said that he would forego the Baptist history today so I could have a little more time, so I promptly tripled the length of my lesson. All right, let's go to Joshua 1:8, please. Joshua 1:8. I want to speak today on the prescription for prosperity. The prescription for prosperity. It says there in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous." So we just heard the prescription for prosperity, and then added on at the end, "And then thou shalt have good success." So what a fun verse, a good verse to memorize. There's a good children's song that I just love the song. There's a, you can sing through this verse, and it's very helpful in memorizing. But we're going to look today at the prescription for prosperity. Let's pray before we do. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. And we do ask that today, Lord, you would be uplifted. And that's my heart's desire. And thank you that there's many in this place. That's their heart's desire as well. Lord, I do pray that we would work on having the right relationship with your word. That really is the measure of prosperity and the measure of success. When we are right with you and right with your word, we can go through anything with a peace that passes understanding. So Lord, I just pray that you'd stir in the hearts of me, Lord, and you already have as I worked on this lesson. I pray that you continue to work on my heart and those that are in this room on our relationship with your word. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So at the end there, "Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Those are our promises. It's a promise. It was back then, and it's still a promise today. When God's word saturates our life so much that it works its way from our mind down into our hearts, and then from there it directs and influences every extremity of my being, I will have prosperity and success. We know that the heart, I shook a couple people's hands today, and my hands were cold and their hands were warm. I'm like, thank you, as I drew precious body heat out of them. I hope that's not something that's gonna, you know, come back to haunt me. Is my blood getting to my hands well enough? Why are my hands cold? But we know the heart pumps blood to every extremity of our being. So when God's truth gets into our heart, boy, it's gonna affect the things I do with my feet, where I go. It's gonna affect what I do with my hands. It's gonna affect what I look at. It's gonna affect every part of my being, and that's what we want. The inverse must be true as well. If a person is not living a prosperous and successful life, I think we can go to this verse and say, there's a good chance it's because you don't have the right relationship with God's word. How's that for counseling? My life doesn't seem like it's what it needs to be. My life doesn't seem like I'm enjoying it. I don't feel purpose. I don't feel that the prosperity. I'm just not enjoying life. I'm not happy. Well, you could take them to this verse and say there's a promise here that if you had the right relationship with God's word, you would be happy, successful, prosperous. You'd have a purpose-filled life. Let's work on that. Let's work on getting the right relationship with God's word in your life. The devil, though, boy, he comes with his excuses. Boy, I would be prosperous and successful in this life if the authority in my life was godlier. I'm held back because the people that direct my life, they've got issues. Well, I'm a parent, and can I just tell you, my children's father has issues. And the Bible doesn't say you can have good success if you do all these things. Oh, and your parents are perfect. Or your pastor is perfect. Or your boss is perfect. No, it's you It's you. It's you and your relationship with God's word. It's all on you. You can have a prosperous and successful life if you'll have the right relationship with God's word. Oh, there's the politics of my workplace or even this church. Those hold me back. It's you that's holding you back. It's your walk with God. It's your relationship with God's word. If I wasn't so busy, I would get in God's word more. Well, the truth is, and we know it's true, we find the time to do what truly matters to us. How many YouTube videos? Isn't it convicting when you maybe you have the phone that tells you how many hours a day you're spending on your phone? And it's probably not, you know, on the Bible app, right? We find the time to do what matters. And if you want prosperity and success, have the right relationship with God's word, and you will find the time if it matters to you. Dr. Sorensen, he said that Joshua 1:8 was related to Psalm chapter 1 a while back, and he said, I believe Psalm 1 is the divinely inspired commentary on Joshua 1:8. So he started in Joshua 1:8, and then he jumped to Psalm 1 and he preached through Psalm 1. So I thought I would do the opposite. I thought I would kind of read through Psalm 1 and then come back and work our way through Joshua 1:8. So let's go to Psalm 1, or you don't have to if you don't want to. I think you might know it. But we'll go there and then we'll come right back. So, and again, a divinely inspired commentary, a divine expansion on the truths here in Joshua 1:8. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So you might say, I can't even imagine being delighted. Reading God's word is a duty. It's like eating the healthy food that tastes awful, but I have to eat it because, I don't know, maybe my doctor said, you need more bran or whatever. And you're like, ugh. And so maybe I've got to do it medicinally. I don't enjoy it. The things I enjoy, the doctors, don't eat the things you enjoy. If you enjoy it, it's bad for you. For the rest of your life, only things you don't enjoy. And maybe you think, spiritually, I've matured to the point where I understand that I need to put in my eyes and ears the things that are good for me. And I don't enjoy it, but that's fine. It's good for me. It's healthy. But I don't understand how I could get to where I delight in God's word. Well, we'll talk about that some today. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He delights in the law, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted. The wind of doctrine, the winds of this life blow, but you aren't blown away. You're planted in this life. By the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the prescription for prosperity has to do with the right relationship with God's word. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And Dr. Sorensen, he kind of summarized it this way, get out of the world and get into the word. Have that right relationship with God's word. So if you're not back here in Joshua 1, if you turn to Psalm 1, let's come back to Joshua 1, verse 8. So the first thing, I'm going to give you 4 points. I have lots of time. This is exciting. I'm going to give you 4 points. The first part, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The first part of the prescription is confession. Confession. If you look up the etymology of the word confession, con comes from the idea of with, and fess comes from the original words to admit or to say with or to admit with. So God speaks absolute truth. And so when you speak, when the words of God are dwelling in your mouth, the God's word not departing from your mouth, you are saying with. You are saying the same thing God does. It's good to say the same thing God does and then to believe it. So God's words are truth. Boy, his words are powerful. Saying the same thing God does. And it's comforting. There was Joshua. And what were some of the things Joshua could say that would be comforting to him? He didn't want to psych himself up. He didn't want to get a self-help book, right? Dig deep. Look inside. Find something inside of you that will help you take on this life. That's no good. You know what? He could go. He could go back to verse 5. Would that be comforting? Are these some good words to keep in his mouth as he's about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Is that comforting? Is it nice to take a verse like that and keep that in your mouth? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That was in the Old Testament. We have a New Testament equivalent, don't we? There in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Maintaining a spiritual walk with God is not complicated, but we do need to take it seriously. Somebody said once, 7 days without prayer and Bible reading makes 1 week. So that's a fun thought, but not W-E-E-K, W-E-A-K. And again, I would say that it's not 7 days and you're in trouble. I'd say 1 day and you're in trouble. Boy, it's those moments. Sin has a way of sneaking up on you, doesn't it? I remember, I think it was last year, a lady at Walmart. She was working at Walmart, and she was in charge of the checkout, the self-checkout lanes. And so she's watching. One person left his wallet on the self-checkout. She didn't know that was going to happen. He purchased his things, and he left, and the wallet was there. And she took the wallet and pocketed it, went into the bathroom, emptied it, and then came out and turned it into customer service saying, oh, no, I found this in the ladies' restroom. And I want to turn it in if the person comes back for it. Well, she somehow didn't realize that she was on camera. And they went back and saw her take it and put it in her Walmart smock. And she didn't wake up thinking that that was going to happen. Sin's opportunity was suddenly there and she wasn't ready for it. So I wouldn't say don't wait a week and then think, you know, I better get back in God's word. In fact, he said day and night in his law doth he meditate day and night once a day. Doesn't even seem. And again, you think if I'm getting in God's word once a day, I'm doing pretty good. I would tell you, if you're only in there once a day, start working on getting there twice a day. Day and night, the Bible says, meditating in God's word. This book is life. It is so important to us. My children, you know, they're in trouble for something and they're going to get paddled and they're like, Dad, you know, I messed up. But what about the rest of the time where I didn't mess up? There was like a whole lot of hours in the day where I didn't mess up. And it seemed like right here, you're holding me accountable for this one moment but what about all the moments where I didn't mess up? And I say, well, what would that be like if the person standing before the judge said, now sure I robbed that bank and killed the security guard, but during the week there was a whole lot of days where I didn't rob a bank and shoot anybody. And in fact, the majority of that day, the day where I robbed the bank and shot somebody, the majority of that day I wasn't robbing a bank and shooting somebody. Shouldn't that count for something? Is that going to be a good defense before the judge? No, it isn't. Boy, it's those moments that really mess us up. And we got to be prepared for those moments. Those of you with who used to have little kids, you remember giving them a job to do. I remember Alec when he was little and his mom would give him a job and she'd be halfway through giving him the job. And he'd be like, okay, I kind of know what mom's talking about. And he would go to take off. I have the gist of what mom is saying. And he'd be going to take off and she'd say, wait, I wasn't done. Ah, I have the idea. And a lot of times we go through this life having, we think we have the idea and we're not concentrating on the very words. When we hear God's word preached, we need to go over his very words. Don't come into church and say, it's enough, I got the idea, and head out that door. Because it's not good enough to have the idea. We want to have his very words. Let me read this real fast. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And we're reminded that we need to be more careful. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So for us, it's very important that we keep mulling over God's words. Not God's word was open, I got the thought, I got the gist of what was being said, you know, stay away from bed, try to do more good, I got it, head out the door. Right? Well, we want to make sure God's very words are going through our minds. We're mulling over, studying them, thinking them through. When you come across words you don't understand, sometimes you can get Bibles that have at the bottom there what that word means. Or I have a big Webster's 1828 dictionary. That's a very good one. You can get it for free on your phone as an app to look up. That's a super good one. It actually uses scripture in the definitions of the words. As you're like, wow, there's a dictionary that actually uses the Bible. Yes, it's precious. That's a good one to have on hand to maybe look up some of those words. But confession, to say the same thing God says. Then, so this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's huge. And then the next part of this verse says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So we have confession, and that's part of that right relationship with God's word. Secondly, thou shalt meditate. So we have meditation. Meditation. Meditate on God's word. A mind that is stayed on God's word. Again, there was Joshua thinking, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee. I will be with you. Can you take that into your workplace with you? When there's something that seems like, this is going poorly. It seems like things are out of control. And you can remember, God says, I will not fail thee. That's good to remember. A mind that stayed on God's word. Well, I think we know this verse too. Isaiah 26. Let me go there real quickly. Isaiah verse 20. Chapter 26, verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And part of having our mind stayed on him is meditating on his words. Colossians tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can have perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. It's on my mind lately, but Acts 16, the jailer, he's thinking, I am free. I am outside. There's Paul and Silas. We just whipped those guys and chained them to a wall. Why are they happier than I am? They're literally happier than I am. I'm out here. They're in there. And then when the doors opened, the jailer, the other prisoners didn't want to leave. Through the night, the jailer is thinking, man, I kind of feel like it'd be nice to be in there with those guys. And by the time the morning was over, he goes in and he says, what must I do to be saved? How can I have what you guys have? How is that possible? Paul and Silas there, life has been unfair to me. No, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You can be more content in a jail cell, chained to the wall, than outside and being in charge. Paul and Silas were close to the one who truly was in charge. And that was helpful to them. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, In his law doth he meditate day and night. How could I ever delight in God's word? Well, God's law is just rules, right? And you say, I don't like rules. You do like rules, right? Rules are what makes a game fun. If I come to your house and you're excited about a board game you just purchased, or you're it's like, would you guys mind if we pulled out this game and played it with you? We have this game. We would love to play it with you. All right. They're like, have you ever played such and such? Like, I've never played. And what would I say? I might say one of two things. How is it played? Or what are the rules? Because a game is only fun if you understand the rules and you keep them, right? And again, we have the game of life, don't we? What are the rules? So you, it should be fun. When you come to church, you're in a game called life. You're living your life. And it's good for you to come to church and open the manual and find out what the rules are. If you follow the rules, it's fun. It's wonderful. But if you know what the rules are, and the person who's really good at the game is the person who's really good at the rules, right? You ever play with that person that as you're going, you're finding out more about the rules, and it always happens to be in their favor? It's like, ha, ha, ha. Actually, that's an illegal move. I forgot to tell you that on the second Tuesday of the month, you're not allowed to. But rules for basketball, right? There's the referee, and it obviously goes off that person's hand and out of bounds. For basketball, it should be the other team's ball. And you're like, ha-ha, it's our ball, yes! He's like, you know, that basketball player had a rough day. I'm just going to give it to them. I think it'll cheer them up. Like, no, let's just keep the rules. That's how the game is fun because of the rules. The rules are what makes the game fun. If you don't have rules, the game is no more. If you don't have the rules, the game is no more. When you open this book and say, Lord, I want to have a successful life. I want to have a prosperous life. He'll say, well, good. Get well acquainted with the rules. And you'll really enjoy this life of yours. And the rules are right there. And when you have that approach instead of, oh, I gotta open the book. No, your delight. You want to get the rules down. Oh, it's a blessing. When your children are little, sometimes you give them instructions and you say, before you leave, repeat back to me the very words I gave to you, so that I can make sure we're on the same page, right? Because, again, it's like Chinese telephone. You don't have to go through eight people for the message to get messed up. It's just me to him. And they repeat back to you, no, that's not at all what I said. And so you have to repeat it and have them give back to you the very words. And then you repeat it and give back to you the very words. You know, it's good for us to go over the very words and meditate on those words. When you drive bus, so Mr. Ramos, when he's back and when he's not on the road, he'll jump on a bus. And for me, it's kind of when you're on a bus that you don't drive all the time. There's a little bit of a challenge. I don't know if other bus drivers are like this. You drive the route in the morning, and you think, I wonder if I could drive it from memory on the way home. It's just kind of a fun little challenge. And so years ago, I was driving for Tyler Brock, and I remembered that after this stop, I went up to Elm, or whatever the street was, and took a left. And so in my mind, I'm playing this game with myself. Well, the problem is sometimes the shuttle car will have made pickups or drop-offs that maybe you're dropping off somebody on the bus that the shuttle car picked up in the morning, so the route is slightly different. So he's like, Brother Mitchell, up here on Elm, take a right. And in my mind, I'm nodding. But in my mind, I'm picturing that left that we made in the morning. And I'm nodding while intending to go left on Elm. I heard the words, but I had a different picture in my mind. And as I'm driving, I'm like, did he say turn right? And I'm picturing going left. But it was as I went over his words that I allowed those words to begin to alter my thinking. Because we have thinking that we come to church with, and then God's word is opened. And we like the way we think. And we can smile and nod, but it's only as we go over those words and go over those words and say, wait a second, that's different than the picture I have in my mind. So I said, Brother Brock, did you say go right up here on Elm? And he kind of read my mind. He goes, yes, there's an extra stop we need to make. The shuttle car got somebody right on Elm, and so we need to do that. I'm like, oh, it's a good thing I went over those words. Meditate therein, day and night. It's not a bad idea to get an index card and write down a verse, the very words that God has given you. You can pull that out throughout the day. Read it over. Ask God, Lord, I want this to alter my thinking. I want my thinking to be altered by your words. Memorize scripture. Read it thoughtfully. Write it. Meditate on it. And then obey it. Boy, that's all part of just meditating. And of course, we're going to get into some more of this. But I know when I teach my music theory class, sometimes I'll be teaching a new concept in music theory, and I'll describe it to them, and they're looking at me like, I'm like, okay, well, I gave you a good description of what we're about to learn, and it's not clear in your minds yet, is it? So let me put it on the chalkboard. So I get my chalkboard, and so I explain it to them. They don't have it. And I'll put it on the chalkboard, and I'll do it for them. Like, there, now do you see? They're like, So I explained it to them, and I showed them, and it's still not quite there. Then I'll put one on the board, and I'll do it with them. I'll say, okay, now tell me what note I should put up there. And they might say, this note. I'm like, don't forget, we need to. And then slowly I do it with them, and then the light bulb begins to turn on. And then they, oh, I get it. When we come to church, the word of God is explained. And that shouldn't be enough for us. I got it. I came to church. I did my thing. I'm out the door. Because there are some things that we're like, if you want to get it, the truth is you haven't fully gotten some of those things yet. So the next step is to watch. So you've heard it explained, and then watch. You have examples in this church. I want to watch somebody live that out. I've learned just as much, if not more, from some of the godly people in this church watching their lives and not just listening to what they tell me. Watching them live out the truths from God's word. And so that's step number two. I see it works for them. But step number three, as I begin also doing the right thing. And what's nice is just like I would take the class through it with me and then I might assign some homework. God never says, okay, do this on your own, does he? I'll take them through the problem, but God, and then I'll assign the homework and it's on them. But God will take you through every problem. Isn't that a blessing? He doesn't say, okay, you're on your own and then report back to me. As you live out the truths in God's word, he says, I'll be there with you. I will help you work out every problem. Now, that's better than my kid's math teacher. They send my kids home, and they're like, oh, I wonder if I should bug the teacher. Like, possibly, but possibly not. They have to have a life at some point as well. And so they'll call sometimes, but you're on your own. But for God, he never says, okay, work on this, you're on your own. He'll help you work the problems. And that's meditation. Thirdly, that thou mayest observe to do. that thou mayest observe to do. So that's dedication. Dedication. You need to get busy. And when you're delighted in God's word, when you have that right spirit, like, oh, I know what the rules are. I love this game. I know what the rules are. I love this game. The game of life. The game of life. And it really can be very enjoyable. You're delighting in the rules. And you know the rules very well. And you're like, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to play. Let's get into it. I'm ready. I'm excited. And there's dedication. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Again, with children, they think, I'll do my chores and then life begins. Life begins after the chores are done. Oh, but can't you enjoy the time during the chores? No. No. Life begins once the chores are done. College students, you know, they do a pretty good job. Sometimes it's Saturday. I'll enjoy my day once I've gotten through ministries. When ministries are done, then the fun. But I've got to get through. I've got to get through the unpleasant part of the day to earn the pleasant part of the day where I can do what I want. Oh, no. And again, it isn't completely like that. I love it. I'll have college students say, can I just share a testimony? I was knocking doors and God allowed this to happen. I got to give the gospel to somebody. I got to see someone get saved. Oh, it's wonderful. Life shouldn't begin once service for God is over. Life should be about the service. Keeping the rules. The joy of having a life that you know what the rules are, and there's a dedication. You can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ. And he says day and night, but in his law shalt thou meditate day and night. I don't know. Some people will say, you know, Dr. Sorensen, you know, it's like, I like to read through the Bible 3 times a week. You know, you're like, wow. You know, not quite. It wasn't quite that bad, but you're like, oh, man. You know, so big chunks of the Bible, other people, right? You've heard other people that say, no, you don't have to read a bunch of the Bible. You know, I can read half a word and just chew on that for months. And you're like, wow, what do I do? So what do I do? I would recommend doing some of each. Maybe in the morning you read a more lengthy passage to get the synthesis of the Bible, get an overview of the Bible. Maybe that helicopter pass, or it's nice to hike the Grand Canyon, but it's also nice to fly over the Grand Canyon, isn't it? And there's blessings to both, isn't there? Maybe I'd recommend do both. Get in God's Word, maybe in the morning or in the evening, go through some lengthier portions. You can listen to it. And go through a lengthier portion. And then the other time of day, maybe go a little bit slower. Maybe have a Bible study book there. And do both. I would say don't pick one or the other. Get in God's Word day and night. It's wonderful. Like we said, fly over the Grand Canyon or hike in the Grand Canyon. Do both. Do both. Get in God's Word day and night. And as you do, be sure to interpret in a normal way. don't over-spiritualize it. Let it say what it says. Will you just let the Bible say what it says? A lot of times people want the Bible to be mystical because then I'm not accountable to it. Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, remarked, it's not the things which I do not understand in the Bible that trouble me. It's the things I do understand. And it's my understanding, he wasn't even a believer. And he said, there's some things in the Bible that speak very plainly, and it bothers me what I read there. So sometimes you have people that will say, do you ever wonder if, you know, they say some weird thing. You're like, no, actually the Bible says, I'll take you there. Like, no, put that away. I prefer to wonder. You're like, why would you prefer to wonder? I mean, because then if I'm wondering, then I'm the judge of the conclusions I make. But if you pick up the Bible, then God's the judge. He speaks clearly. He speaks plainly. Would you like that person across the, you know, the Parcheesi board from you that's like, you ever wonder? No, the rule book says this. Put that away. I have a mystical relationship with rules. Then we're not going to be able to play. All right? So read it literally, grammatically, historically. Do all of this with prayer. Don't forget to pray when you get into God's word. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Take the time to put the armor of God on as a part of all of this. Brother Renshaw, for Empowered Youth, he was preaching and he reminded us that Goliath was serious about getting his armor on. And sometimes we have better armor, but because we have better armor, we don't take the time to make sure we're wearing it. We have better armor, but sometimes the enemy is more serious about wearing his inferior armor than we are about wearing our superior armor. So do all of this as you have this relationship with God. Spend time in prayer. Make sure the armor is put on. Daniel and David both spoke of praying 3 times a day. And Daniel was so consistent that his enemies knew when he was going to be in prayer and could use it against him. What do your enemies know about you? Where's so-and-so? Oh, they're always with God this time of day. What do your children know about you? Oh, right now, Dad's spending time with God in the book and in prayer. The last thing is do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. The whole book. All the rules. All the rules. So the last thing is completion. Completion. Have a faith that finishes. It will take a lifetime to observe all that is written therein. But when you're in love with God, you'll enjoy the things that interest Him. Sometimes you say, Lord, can I just be honest with you, Lord? Part of this Christian life doesn't interest me. There's other things that interest me. Well, if you churn up your love for the Lord God, what interests Him will interest you as a result of that love. There are things that I will do and I enjoy because my wife does them and enjoys them that I never would have done or enjoyed. But because I love her, there's an interest there that would not have been there otherwise. It's fine, Lord. Can I just be honest? Some of these things that I should be doing aren't interesting to me. Get close to Him. Spend time in God's word. Delight in this, and you'll find that God will change your interests over time. So that's the prescription. What's the promise? Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What was prosperity? Joshua was about to go into the promised land. He had some Jerichos to face, didn't he? And those Jerichos were going to be easy to overcome. He was going to know prosperity in the Jerichos of his life as long as he maintained the right relationship with God's word. You have Jerichos in store for you, and you will not be ready. They will all end up like Ai if you don't have the right relationship with God's word. It wasn't going to be military advantage or military strategy that was going to win the day in the challenges ahead. It was going to be confession, meditation, dedication, and completion, that right relationship with God's word. Obedience brings victory. Delighting in God's word brings prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray.